The human tongue is a very versatile organ. In the Bible, the word tongue often refers to speech, both good and bad. The New Testament writer James wrote about this. Today, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on the topic, with the tongue, based upon James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. This is the Words of Life program. We are brought to you by the contributions and prayers of Churches of Christ and other believers. You may order a free CD of this program using the information that will be given at the close of the broadcast.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on its face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit,
sweet Heavenly
Holy Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave Jesus to save us. We pray that the news of the saving power of Jesus will be shared by this program and all other efforts that serve you. There are people living faithfully as they face Satan's opposition. Please be with them. Please also bless each one of our listeners as they have need. And just as we know that Jesus was born on this earth and after his death was resurrected, we know that the Word teaches that he is going to return to call us to himself. Please help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, With the Tongue.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we endeavor to share the Word of God and especially apply the Word of God to our lives and share its truths and principles with others. The title for the lesson is With the Tongue, and our text is taken from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Please listen to the Word of God. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. It seemed like a harmless statement. An event promoter made a public announcement that a world-famous classical pianist would perform at the opening of the $110 million Texas Motor Speedway. The auto racing fans would have the opportunity to hear the renowned pianist Van Claiborne at a NASCAR event. The promoter put it this way by saying, quote, Van Claiborne is going to play for Bubba, end quote. Now, the general manager of the new Texas Motor Speedway fired off a letter to the promoter stating, please do not refer to race fans as Bubbas or rednecks. The use of the term Bubba or redneck can be considered a racial slur. So, what was humorous to the promoter was considered an insult to others. We can take a lesson from this. Our improperly chosen words can offend, wound, anger, or repel others. Our tongues are powerful and can be potentially harmful even if we do not think so. For some, Bubba is simply a Southern region diminutive of brother, sort of like mama or papa and Bubba and sister. In the South, Southern United States, particularly within the working class white world, Bubba is a term of affection. An owner of a convenience store in Texas named his store Bubba's, stating, we wanted people to know we are friendly common folk, so come to Bubba's. Bubba is nice and drives a pickup truck. Yet others consider Bubba to refer to uncultured, poorly educated rednecks that chew tobacco and get drunk, and I guess go to NASCAR races, which is stock car racing. Whatever we may think of the term Bubba, we as Christians should hold ourselves to a higher standard in using or holding our tongues. We must not only avoid insulting or harming others, but also seek positive ways to communicate with our tongues as a benefit to others, to be sensitive, more sensitive. We have a higher standard as Christians. And sometimes, of course, we don't even realize that we may be offending someone. A maturing Christian lifestyle certainly includes use of our tongues. We use our tongues to communicate God's truths as we witness to others. And we should. And we should seek to encourage, not discourage. In James's epistle, his letter, we have warnings and guidance in allowing God to help us to use our tongues for His glory, not as hindrances, and not certainly as a hindrance to our Christian witness. So let's consider our text, James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, and make personal application. Verses 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers. This should not be. All of us can probably recall times when we said things that we wish we had never, ever said. But once said, said aloud, it cannot be totally erased, even if we apologize. We may call it a slip of the tongue, something we were thinking but should not have blurted out. I still myself cringe when I'm reminded of some stupid, harmful things I've stated in the past. We all need to bite down hard on our tongues when we are tempted to say something that we will really regret afterwards, if we think about it before we talk. Some wisdom. Perhaps you've received a phone call or been called aside by someone who says, quote, "I want to tell you about so-and-so," end quote. We should promptly say, "Wait a second. May I quote you by name?" Probably there will be a long pause. Then they'll probably say, "Well, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think that's a good idea." Then our answer should be, "If I can't quote you by name, then I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say." This tactic should stop gossip and rumors that have hurt many a soul. We may strive to keep our food diet healthy and balanced, yet the words we have had to eat were indeed hard to digest. Don't be like Winston Churchill, who was a famous person in England, in the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister, in fact, who was also famous for being quick and sharp-tongued, who could not restrain himself from insult. He, Winston Churchill, once the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, he and Lady Astor were enemies. Lady Astor was some kind of a prominent woman in England, and they were enemies. The feeling was quite mutual. On a certain occasion, Lady Astor found herself with Winston Churchill, obviously inebriated, drunk, in a hotel elevator. With cutting disgust, she snipped, "Sir Winston, you are drunk." To which he quickly replied, "My lady, you are ugly. Tomorrow I will be sober, but you will still be ugly." Now that's a classic example of how not to respond, however much our tongues can't wait to strike back. In verses 9 and 10, we find both a positive and negative use of the tongue. Praise of God is the highest function of human speech, yet with the same tongue we can curse. We can belittle human beings, fellow human beings. Insulting, cursing is verbal abuse, usually arising from a loss of temper, argument, or debate. This spotlights the inconsistency of our use of our tongues. It should not be that we bless God and then attack others made in God's likeness, in God's image, as beings who are rational and moral at the same time. We must strive to practice the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We can do no better than to commit our tongues to the Lord. Yes, put our tongues on the altar also, asking Him regularly to develop true wisdom in us and allow God to refine and purify our flashes of selfishness, our flashes of anger, resentment, envy, and pride in holding our tongues. The inspired writer James then illustrated by the consistency of nature versus, in contrast, to the inconsistency in the use of our tongues. James chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Both verses ask questions to which the expected answer is no. All of these illustrations from nature would have been very familiar to Israelites. Areas around the Dead Sea contain many salty springs. Farther north of the Dead Sea, one could find springs from which flowed fresh water. Yet, of course, one spring could produce only one type of water. Likewise, a tree or vine produced only its own kind of fruit. So the point is obvious. Nature is consistent, but our tongues have rarely provided models of consistency. Hopefully not true for maturing Christians. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 states, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You understand that Winston Churchill, the past Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of England, was a professing Christian, and he was very salty in a negative way, not taming his tongue, not full of grace, but often full of vim and vinegar. Churchill and Lady Astor often engaged in verbal sparring, as for example when she stated, quote, "If I were your wife, I would put arsenic, poison, in your tea." What a thing to say. Churchill responded, "If I were your husband, I would drink it." A lecturer on the impact of words often asks his audience if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind words about another person or to another person. Invariably, a small number of listeners raise their hands, signifying yes, they can go 24 hours without saying unkind words. But the vast majority usually laugh, and quite a large number yell out, "No, I can't do it. I can't go 24 hours without saying an unkind word." So then the lecturer states, quote, "Those of you who can't answer yes must recognize that you have a serious problem. If you cannot go 24 hours without drinking liquor, then you're addicted to alcohol. If you cannot go 24 hours without smoking, then you're addicted to nicotine. Similarly, if we cannot go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others or to others, then we have lost control over our tongues." Food for thought, especially for Christians, but really for everybody, because everybody should be decent and civil and not copy some of our politicians who belittle their opponents. Our tongues can be used as a personal witness for Christ, or our tongues can be abusive to harm our witness for Christ. It's with the tongue, and it's our choice. May we use our words, may we speak our words wisely and in a godly fashion.
On a hill far away,
We can thank God for Brother Johnson's interesting sermon. If you would like to have a free CD of this and last week's broadcast, please write to us and order program 2412. That's 2412. If you have questions about this sermon or our ministry, please feel free to write to us. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.